Welcome to Burn Bright Today, Burn Brighter Tomorrow with me, your quantum wealth and wellness expert, Jennifer J. Marcinelli, bringing to you a holistic healing revolution, eradicating exhaustion and renewing your whole life. Whether you're a corporate executive or homemaker, exhaustion and burnout have no boundaries. I bring over 30 years of wellness and wealth expertise to this hit show, specializing in helping leaders recover from burnout and transforming themselves into the prosperous executives they were meant to be. When it comes to burnout, I have a simple philosophy. When you have energy problems, you need energy solutions. You don't have to accept chronic mood swings and exhaustion as normal. You can go from stress, anxiety, depression, chronic pain and illness to burning bright today and burning brighter tomorrow. Burn Bright Today starts right now. Writers, I'm so excited to be here with you today. And I have a very, very special guest, Dr. Pat Basile. I'm going to be bringing her on and introducing her here in just a moment. But I want to explain why I've invited Dr. Pat on today's show and why the message that she has and her life's work is so key to what's going on right now. As you know, I personally have experienced the pain and emotional injury of broken promises over and over in my career as a sales executive. When you're hired on and the senior leadership, the promises they make to hire you into the organization don't pan out, especially when you're working hard and don't get paid what they promised. And what I found for me personally is that, you know, the emotional injury and the mental injury and the injury that takes place in our biofields over time from broken promises are a major underlying root cause of burnout. And if this goes on long enough and hard enough, burnout can become exhaustion. And we, you know, that's what we're talking about now. We're now talking about end stages of exhaustion here in industries and in organizational psychology. So welcome, Dr. Pat Basile. I'm so excited to have you on the show and talking about your life's work. You are one of the key leaders in the field who studied your dissertation. You're published in the growing problem of broken promises. Yeah. So thank you. And let me just turn it over to you a little bit. Let's hear what you have to say. I just want to press play and let you go.
For people that are listening, let's set the playing field for everyone. In the world of psychology, you're not going to find the study of broken promises. What you're going to find is something called psychological contracts.
Right.
And psychological contracts are these things that are based on obligations that you believe should be provided to you. And it's a strong word, but let me just be really clear about it. You know, obligations really come in the form of expectations, and that they could be something as, you know, talking to your child and say, "Hey, honey, we're going to go horseback riding this weekend." That's so explicit. It's like out there. It's like, "Hey, honey, we're going to go." And the week goes by and it's like, "Mommy, are we going horseback riding?" "Oh, geez, I forgot." Broken promises, number one, boom. Or it could be more implicit. Every Saturday we go horseback riding. We don't say it, but every Saturday for the past 6 months of my young childhood, we get piled up and we go. And all of a sudden this Saturday, we're not being piled up and we're not going, right? Because of the pattern of things. And this is where we are in corporate America right now. And in our lives right now, you know, there has been this idea in the world that if I stay home after having my child, or if I stay home because I'm on family leave because I just buried my dad who passed away from COVID, then the idea of coming back to work and having the same position I had, having the same salary I had, that's what's with you in this moment of a very dear and personal time of your life. And then we find out you come back to work You're not going to get the job you had, and your salary is cut by a third. That's the level that we're talking about. And that's a very specific example. And by the way, that's a real example,
yeah,
without disclosing any names.
Right.
And so every day we're faced with new elements of what we call psychological contract violation, better known as broken promises. And that's what we're talking about today. They have such a far-reaching effect, you know, that it took me 10 years to study it. Like, what the heck is this crazy thing? I don't know. You don't understand what I'm talking about because you've experienced it, haven't you?
I have in many, many ways. And I mean, I think first and foremost early, well, to your point, some of this starts early in childhood and set to the point where, you know, the implicit contract that your parents will stay together. I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, who knew? You know, I had a really pretty happy early childhood and then things got really rough and my parents divorced. And, you know, here was an implicit promise. We'd have our home and our friends and our family. And, you know, fast pitch wind, my identity as a fast pitch windmill pitcher and then Girl Scout, you know, all of these things growing up. And, you know, a series of unfortunate events in my family led to, yeah, you know, let's just call it a catastrophic divorce. And my mom had to make which I'm sure was an excruciating decision for her to move us at the tender age of 13 across the country from Michigan to Texas. And that's how early some of this starts. And I will tell you, I just have learned firsthand, you know, on my birthday back on August 30th, that was the 40 year anniversary of the move from Michigan to Texas. And you think my stuff didn't get kicked up?
Yeah.
But you're right. A lot of it, this underlying, I mean, that's how early this started, is when you have an implicit promise. You think your family's going to be together. You think your parents are going to be together. You think that you're going to have plenty of financial security, a home, that you'll be stable, that you won't have to move. And so exactly to your point, this started in an early age for me. And then it was also a karmic pattern that repeated itself in the workplace over time as well, professionally.
Yeah. And, you know, I watched this weekend the movie, the movie Respect, the story of Aretha Franklin.
Oh, it's on my list. Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk about it for those of you that didn't watch it. But what I learned from that movie about her and her life is the epitome of a broken promise. When your parents cannot protect you from abuse, when your parents cannot make a safe space for you. And those are just small aspects of a bigger lifelong journey, but they're critical. And in watching her story, you could see how things would play out for her. And, you know, we're looking in a world now where not only are we seeing promises, or what we call promises, explicit or implicit, being, you know, violated every day, what we're seeing now is how that's playing out and affecting life, how it's playing out and affecting life.
Right.
You know, I was talking to somebody over the weekend and they said, you know, do you think that another round of PPP will happen? PPP is that way you can fund because of COVID-19 and the effect on business. And what I said is, I don't even think anybody understands what's happening with people in business now.
Right.
Because we're looking at these numbers and we're looking at job rates and we're looking at stock markets, but we're really forgetting that there is still an impact on business right now. It's an afterthought. And so there are so many things we're looking at now that feel like promises have been broken to so many people. And Jennifer, they're happening at all levels.
Yes.
You know, they're happening at the very top, right?
Correct.
You know,
yes.
It were happening at the very top. If you're Greta Thunberg, then you're thinking, oh my God, why aren't these people paying attention to the climate? Right.
Right.
If you're somebody that is thinking about your rights, like women, and I'm a broken record on this, and I'm going to keep being a broken record, ladies, because many of you, if not in my poll, 98% of you didn't even know that there was an equal pay bill in the Senate that did not pass. Equal pay for women did not pass. Yes, Jessica, I'm a broken record. I'm talking about it again. So here you have a situation where you said I would get equal rights, equal pay. And now you just told me I can't because you think you're going to worry about Senator from Tennessee and Mississippi. You think you're going to worry about the fact that what? There'll be frivolous lawsuits? I don't think equal pay is frivolous. So you see, if we go through the very fabric of where we are now, my broken promise may be a kept promise for you. And this, to me, is what's causing the great divide right now. In corporations, you said you were going to make sure I'm healthy, but yet you won't hire somebody to come in here and work with us on stress. What do you think?
No, I'm totally with you on this. And this is a really fantastic segue. So we're just a couple of minutes out from taking a break. I'd like to segue to that and talk about that deeper when we come back from break, because I think this really is a valuable point of what we're talking about. And the other thing that I would like to talk about and speak from the position of being a licensed clinician as a nurse, one of the hardest things that I have had to swallow, if you will, is related to informed consent for any type of medical treatment, whatever that is. And that's something that's personally strong for me. And I feel, you know, as an advocate, that every single person, it is a right. And as a licensed clinician, it is under our licensure that we must provide full informed consent before any treatment, and that each and every person has that right to make absolutely certain that they have all of the information and that they can make their own decision on what's best for them. So let's pause here for a moment. We're going to press pause. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Thank you, Dr. Pat. See you guys here in just a moment.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon Art to Soothe Your Soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Tune in to Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, C-L-A-R-E, dash I-T-Y.com.
Hey folks, thank you for tuning in to, I've got Dr. Pat Basile with me, and we're talking about psychological contract negotiations and psychological contract violations and how the injuries and long-term effects from broken promises can really harm our psyche, and really impact our well-being from the physical, mental, emotional, and biofield perspective, right? So I know from my perspective as a practitioner in organizational and energy psychology, I'm seeing this larger than I think I've ever seen it before. I don't know if you'd agree with that, Dr. Pat, but this just seems to be upfront and in your face. A lot of folks are really now to the point where the people that I'm working with are really struggling to, number one, keep employee engagement and keep employee productivity up, while employees are now really pushing back that psychological contracts have been broken. And I would even venture to say employment agreements have been broken. So
no question about it.
What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no question about it. May I say that for the most part, the statistics are now showing that women have been most affected by the post-COVID return to work event.
Okay.
Those are some of the statistics that are coming out. But the point is, why? And what's the impact of that? I would have thought that organizations would have learned from history about what happens when you break promises. And we act as if, Jennifer, we act as if an organization does these things and nobody else is looking.
Well, it's a blatant disregard.
It's like nobody's looking.
Yeah, it's a blatant disregard for the law of karma It will come back. And this is not a religious belief. It's a fact. It's a universal fact that is just as real and as operational as gravity. So you're exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting that you bring up corporate memory, because when I was getting my MBA, I wrote a paper on corporate memory that every corporation on its board of directors should have one person who, even if it's an emeritus position, who stays with the company from its inception all the way through. And their job is to remember. Their job is to remind leadership what has worked and what hasn't. So you're exactly right. It's like sometimes a part of our culture, you know, the goldfish mentality, right? You know, seafood, shiny object, that we forget that something that happened that was, did not work well, that had negative impact, but because it was, you know, last week, 6 months, a year, 2 years, or a generation ago, we've forgotten about it. So we can repeat the same mistakes. This is not okay, guys. is not okay. So,
yeah. And you know, what happens when we look at these things is we, from a science perspective or from a psychology perspective, you know, what is it we're writing about? What is it we're looking at? And, you know, the body of work for a lot of people is, what does this matter? Why does it matter if I don't keep up an end of the bargain? And we're talking about the relationship you have between yourself and most likely a leader. Let's call them a supervisor. Let's call them a manager, whatever you want to call them. You know, but if you're in an organization, it's that. If you're not, we're talking about relationships between people. We're talking about relationships between you as an individual in a government and the government. So we're talking about whatever that relationship is, and we have hundreds of them, right? And, you know, the question is, why do we even want to have a conversation about this? And the reason we want to have a conversation about this is because once you violate a contract or break a promise, let's just nail it down, break a promise, right? Once you do that, the effects of it are so devastating.
Yes.
And, you know, the greater the promise, the bigger the promise, the harder the fall, right? The bigger the promise, the harder the fall. And in today's world, what we're discovering is across the board, any number of things that you can point to. And we just don't want to look at why this is an issue. And trust comes up right in the middle. Trust and procedural justice comes up in the middle. You know, if you're going to do something, people want to know why you're going to do it. But what about trust? How does that work? And anybody knows that once promises are broken, yes, it is an effect on trust. And, you know, I could tell you that rather than just talk about it, we now know that from an empirical research basis, you break a promise, boy, you're going to lose a whole lot of things, right?
You know, you're exactly right. And to bring in a different, because, you know, from right today, we bring spirituality into everything because that's the Aquarian age way, right? And from a spiritual perspective, there are universal laws working in the background. And it is like taught how important it really is for us to keep our agreements. I mean, and from a spiritual perspective, and as a practitioner, I see this in my practice with my clients, organizational clients and individual pro-exec clients that come in for comprehensive sessions. And I can tell you this, that it has come up over and over and over in a variety of different type of client sessions, that the biofield is actually injured or damaged when this level of betrayal takes place. So it's energetic as well. You're right. It's psychological, the mental body and the psyche and the emotions are affected, but the biofield is impacted in various ways as well. And I can also tell you, we can see it on the timeline from past lives to current lives, even into the future. So there are, I can just kind of say it again, it is very important that we keep our agreements, and not just our agreements that we make with other people, but our agreements that we make with ourselves too. First and foremost, mm-hmm. keeping the promises that we have made to ourselves first and foremost. And I can tell you, I'm seeing folks that once this gets repaired and gets corrected and straightened out, they can start really moving. They can get unstuck from what's holding them back and start moving forward. And, you know, that may look, relationships might change, a marriage might change, employment might change, because to your point, Dr. Pat, when promises are broken, it's a level of betrayal that in many ways, there's often no going back. I think especially now, because the stakes are so high. We're talking about the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And everybody's familiar, you know, Psych 101, Maslow's hierarchy of needs is a pyramid shape. Bottom of the pyramid are all things that are perceived as security. Home, food, clothing, internet access, things have evolved. All of these, employment, and basic rights. I would say that basic rights are on the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy of needs too. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, here's where we are. And what I love about this is really where the lines get blurred, and what your point is so well taken. You know, this is what we've learned. If you want to focus on research, here's what we've learned. That when a promise is broken, there's no real distinction to which particular body did it. For example, I study direct relationships with people. So my research was one of the first to study my relationship with you. You're my boss or you're my team lead. So first body of research to do that, all other research was based on the organization or the government. And here's the deal. You're in the world and you represent an organization. That reflection on your exchange impacts something bigger. You know, you go into a clinic to get help and somebody at the front desk or somebody just isn't getting you help. Your broken promise brain goes to, you didn't do it. You work for that clinic. They are just completely awful.
Right.
And this is the way it goes. And, you know, what we're finding today is within the family, you know, we're finding parents having a really difficult time to uphold their end of the bargain to be parents.
Right.
We're talking about the Maslow family level. If you break it down to that, you know, mom and dad are trying to say, we're going to keep you safe. We're going to do this for you. We're going to do that for you. And they're struggling to do that in a time right now. And when you struggle to do something like that, Jennifer, and I'd like you to talk to this point. When you struggle to do something like that and really struggle hard to do it, then there's something that happens in the pattern of ever believing you again.
Absolutely.
Ever believing you again. And trust is so important. And the study of trust is so important because it's so easy to lose trust and so extremely difficult to get it back.
Yes.
And boy, what do you think about where we're living in? And if I could just say this to you and have you pick up on it, all these things, all these outcomes I'm talking about, you know, they have to do with how they affect you. And the way they're affecting people right now is they are beyond the edge of burnout.
Well, you know, and I'm so grateful that you brought this up because I will tell you, I have many female clients right now. And in the last 2 years, my practice has been really very, very busy with women aged mid-30s to mid-40s and even late 50s, I would say. So right about that age group. So these are women who are successful in business or struggling to become re-successful in business from some type of catastrophic event, right? And it's interesting that I would say, you know, I can actually, I would say as high as 90% to 100% of that demographic of the clients in my, that fit that particular demographic, there's something that I see over and over. They had at an early age, at a critical age, a crisis, a critical breakdown of trust with their mother in some way, shape or form.
Yep.
And in some way that there was really no going back, although the psyche, the way that it is, and this is, you know, psych 101, that a daughter will always want to engage in the relationship with their mom. You always want your mom to love you. You always want your mom to provide for you, to protect you, because as we know, energetically, a part of the mother archetype is to that the mother holds time and space, holds a space for her children to grow up and mature into, right? And when you don't have that, when a woman does not have that for whatever reason, truly the effects go on for decades, generations, and we start really seeing it mid-30s all the way up to high 50s. It's coming up. And the one thing that I can say, whether the mother was not able to protect them from, say, the father or from a sibling, for example, or if the mother was not able to provide food and shelter, and, you know, if food was constantly a problem, or in my example, you know, my case, we had financial hardship for decades after my family separated, to the point where I would come home in high school and it was a regular basis that the power would be off, the phone would be off, to where I couldn't have friends over at the house. I never knew what I was coming home to. And that breakdown of trust with the maternal child bond, you almost can never recover. And it's true. Without significant help from the right resources, which is a part of what my practice and many healer and many energy healers and energy psychologists and energy psychotherapy can also focus on to help people move past this. Yeah. Because what I've seen is this broken, when a broken promise in the maternal child bond gets broken like this, is that the energy field, the biofield itself gets stuck. And the aura can't even turn. And if the aura can't turn and the chakras are flat, it is really difficult to unstick yourself and move forward in life. So you're dead spot on. And now we're getting a different perspective of what, how this is, how we carry this and what we have to overcome to move forward. Because if the aura is not turning and we're not moving forward, burnout will happen, will happen. And the longer that goes on, exhaustion will happen. It's science.
You know, it's funny as you're talking about this, there's a diagram. I don't know if I can get it to Malia quick enough, but there's a diagram, you know, in one of the research studies I did, and it's perfect for what you're saying. So there's a thing called affect.
Yes.
And and what does that mean? Feelings. I don't know why we just don't call things what they are, but let's just call it affect, you know, like how you feel about something, right? And here's the bottom line with one aspect of broken promises and kept promises, by the way, affects them both ways. If you have a scenario where you are expected and are expecting something, and whether that is a mom or a dad, you know, providing for their family, or you're in a work situation, or you're a citizen of a country and you're watching the country, there are certain things that you believe are yours to get. In your mind, you are believing in the promises of those things. And so what happens is if you get them or you don't get them, you know, you have a certain feeling about them. And why do we study this? Why do we study this idea of how you feel about something, this affect towards something? Because what it affects in the end, it affects how you are going to show up in the world.
Yes.
How you're going to be engaged.
Yes.
Are you going to be 100%? And here's the thing that we've learned. What we've learned is the relationship between any promise and the way you feel about them is really governed by this thing we call procedural justice. And this is the bottom line. A lot of people will tell you it's not just what, it's not just the end result, it's the how it was done.
Yes.
And that's the basis of one of the studies, one of the offshoot studies, you know, that said, look, if you're going to violate a contract to me, how you do it is going to determine how well or how poorly I feel about it. And that's going to determine how I'm going to show up every day when I'm with you, whether it's a relationship or your job. And that aspect of justice is so very, very important.
Absolutely. And from the organizational psychology perspective, I've seen this over and over with leaders and managers. But let's just, for example, talk about senior leadership. Okay. I have seen, and let's just say, really a couple of cases are coming to mind where these were men. And you're right. It's how you show up in the world. So I do know that these men, and of course, maintaining complete anonymity here, that these men later in, and it took many, many, many sessions to get this far, but the underlying root cause of their stress and their, lack of ability to have a wide affect. In other words, have a wide continuum of healthy emotions and to be able to conduct themselves as leaders, to lead all of their people, right? To lead everyone under their charge, because they're leaders. They have to lead everyone in the company. That these particular cases that I'm thinking of were all men that, as it turned out, they had really significant broken promises with their mothers. And it later came out in their leadership style, their management style, and their ability to manage their own energy, whether it was in a boardroom, whether it was on conference calls, whether it was one-on-one in the field, or, you know, home at night with the wife when they come home from a stressful day. So I have seen this as well. You're exactly right. And there are many that we've seen this in the media. We've seen this quoted in the popular TV series, Madam Secretary. And we've seen this quoted in the popular series, The Crown, where the queen even says, when they're talking about which son would become king and what it looks like. I mean, and in that particular show, in The Crown, the queen says, you know, that tormented children make tormented leaders. And you're right, it's how they show up in the world. So the opportunity for all of this, it's not just to talk about what we're going through, but to offer support and resources so that we can all heal. Because to make the world a better place, we have to start with ourselves. We cannot, to improve our relationship with our manager, our supervisor, our leader, our senior leadership, we first have to start with ourselves. And in my world and in my practice, this is exactly what we see. Yeah. If we always, always, always work with that individual person as a person, then as a leader, and then as a manager, and how they show up in the world. And, you know, it's how it plays out.
And, you know, what you're talking about is so important in studying the, you know, the power of thoughts and beliefs too, and tie it into the spiritual aspect of this. Yeah. You know, I was very fortunate to add a spiritual measure in part two of one of my studies. I never got to publish the data, but it was interesting to find out. But here's what we're talking about. And this is what you nailed it. We're not just talking about, you know, what they call affective traits. Let me just get the jar. Let's just get the psychobabble out of the conversation for a minute. What are we talking about? We're talking about your attitude. Yes. We're talking about your cognitive process, your thinking process. Yes. And then we're talking about social behaviors.
Right.
And so when you look at the diagram, that simple diagram that, you know, I share the results of, what are you talking about when you say broken promises has a serious effect on negative affect? What are you talking about? It affects your attitude. It affects the way you think. It affects how you're showing up socially.
Yes, how you speak, the energy that you project.
I mean, this little bubble diagram that I'm going to try to get it to Malia, but this little bubble diagram with a couple of little diagrams on it, here's what it says, people. It says, if you do this and you break a promise, even if you don't think you broke a promise, this is what's going to happen. It's going to impact the person negatively. Here's what's going to happen to them. They're not going to think right about things anymore. They're not going to really have an attitude that you want them to have anymore. They're going to show up at work and you're going to see they don't smile, right? Or in your family unit, right? You're wondering, why is my child acting differently today? What? You broke a promise. They're acting differently because they don't trust you anymore.
Right.
And this is what we're seeing. And this is playing out in our world, right? Let's talk about it for a minute.
Yeah, let's do, because we're seeing it play out. And let's talk a little bit about how we're seeing it play out in the microscopic
and the macro.
Okay. Yeah. So in other words, psychobabble and MBA, just speak aside, how this plays out with you personally, how this plays out with your family, how this plays out in your community, your church, your social circles, with your local city, state government, and global government. Let's take a look at how it's playing out.
Yeah. I mean, look, one of the things that's hot on the table for right now, and it doesn't matter what side you're on, I always get into trouble about this because I start to talk about something and it doesn't matter what side you're on, whether you're on the side of pro-choice or pro-life, whether you're on the side of mask wearing or not mask wearing, whether you're on the side of vaccine, no vaccine. You have to look at why people raise up their hands and say, this is not right.
Right.
And, you know, when we're looking at our government and we're looking at, well, wait a minute, this thing is a law. You're going to protect me from discrimination on my color of my skin, my ethnicity, right? You're going to protect me for that. You're going to protect me, LGBTQ. You're going to protect me. You're going to protect me, .. fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And when that doesn't happen,
right?
You see what we saw. You see people going to the streets. You see them standing up and saying, I don't feel like this is happening towards me in the way I thought you promised it to.
Well, yeah. And then let's talk about them for just a moment, because to bring spirituality into it, right? Mm-hmm. True freedom starts with each of us.
Oh, True right to choose is the only.
Yes, starts.
That's our freedom.
Absolutely. And it is first and foremost up to each one of us to stand up for ourselves, not necessarily someone else, unless, you know, we have to be careful with karma here, unless that's a direct minor child or there's some other type of an agreement where you'd be advocating for someone else professionally, perhaps. But first and foremost, these responsibilities start with ourselves to stand up and say, this is not for me. I'm not going to talk about what I think is right for anybody else because that's really none of my business. But I inherently know what is right for me and what isn't. And if you feel differently, then you don't do it. Okay. If you are, whether you are pro-life or pro-choice, then if you're not, you know, pro-choice, then don't get one. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's up to each of us to stand to build up our own self-confidence and our own awareness and our own empowerment, if you will. We have to burn brightly enough to stand up for ourselves and say, I'm not okay with this. And I'm not okay with it for me. And that starts with each, every single individual person. Mm-hmm. We must stand up for ourselves when the time is right and in a way that is appropriate so that mm-hmm. we don't cause further harm either.
And, you know, let's talk about something that's not as controversial, but yet it is.
Yeah.
I never thought in my lifetime in the United States of America that I would see here in our country restrictions on voting. I thought by the time I got to be where I was that we would be so far beyond this that we would make voting available for every living, breathing human being that is eligible. And when I see mail-in ballots from different states disappear, do you know who I think about? I think about, you know, the moms and the dads that are sitting out there, the grandmas that are out there that are thinking, I don't want to go to the polls. I can't go to the polls. I'm in a nursing home, or I can't make it to the polls. And I think about the fact
that I don't feel safe.
Or I don't feel safe.
Or I don't feel safe. I can tell you that. That was my experience.
Was it?
I actually, back in the day when this was going on, and this is a topic I don't ever talk about, so this is the first time I've ever shared this or broached this.
Well, I think voting is universal. I think voting for me is, I don't think you're going to find anybody here that says, oh, wait a minute, I don't think I should have the right to vote.
Well, I can just say from a different perspective that the voting place for me was right by my dog park. And I can tell you that I was with my dog in the back of my car heading to the dog park. And when I pulled up to the dog park, which was next door, the energy was so violent that I left. And we could not even go to the dog park, which was next door. So, you know, let's circle back to the importance of managing our energy and managing what we want, standing up for ourselves, but allowing everybody else space and sovereignty to make their own decisions, stand up for themselves without psychically attacking each other and making the whole situation worse, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we take a quick break here and then we'll come back for the last few minutes. Is that all right?
Sounds good to me.
All right. See you in here in a few minutes.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Join Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show, Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit quantumtouch.com.
Have you known that you're on a soul path, but often wondered why you don't have the insight of how to go from here to there, or whether or not what you're doing is going to take you to where you want to go in your soul's journey? Damayante is the show for your soul. Damayante speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and shines a light for your soul. Damayante, the show for your soul with Sarah Main, brings you insights and a pathway to your soul's journey on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Pat. I know you've had to pop off and go on to your own show that follows up in a few minutes. So in the last few minutes, I would really like to focus on the listeners. And if anybody wants to call in with a question or a comment, whether you call into this show or whether you call into next week's show, I would like to kind of wrap up in the last few minutes that we have here together from a different perspective, because a part of what we're talking about is sovereignty, and we're talking about freedom. And what we are also talking about is spiritual freedom and the importance of learning and practicing the important skill and ability to discover what is true for you, your own truth, what you know deep inside with you and your spiritual guides and your connection to the divine. What is true for you? What is good for you? What is not good for you? What you should partake in and what you shouldn't. And knowing that and making certain that for you as an individual, that you're completely empowered in what you believe from your intuition and your connection with the divine. And I work on my clients with this a lot in organizational and in energy psychology. Because first and foremost, you have to really understand what is most important to you. What core belief would you never violate? And then after that, you can set up a set of parameters that you know that you won't cross, and you know that you won't let anybody else to cross. So we're talking about boundaries as well. We're talking about core values. We're talking about boundaries. Now, energetically speaking, let's talk about what happens to the biofield. A big part, and I talk about it in my book, I think it's chapter 8, it's about speaking your truth and the importance of standing up and speaking your truth. And some of the signs and symptoms, if you're wondering, okay, you know, do I have a biofield energy or injury from not speaking my truth? So ask yourself these questions. Do you have trouble speaking your truth calmly and with the appropriate amount of energy and passion? Do you have chronic sore throats? Do you have chronic throat infections or tonsillitis? Or does your throat actually constrict and you start coughing if you're starting to speak the truth? Dr. Neha with TalkRx did a phenomenal body of work on speaking her truth. And she talks a lot about the actual physical throat constriction she experienced as an ER physician when she was not allowed to speak up and do what was right, what she knew was right for her patient care. So Dr. Neha, we'll make sure we hashtag her as well, Malia. But what I've seen in my practice is as this goes on long enough, you can actually have throat chakra damage where sometimes the actual throat chakra itself has to be repaired or upgraded, which can be done by various energy healing modalities. If you have an energy practitioner that resonates with you, I would certainly recommend having your throat chakra explored and see what construction you might need to do. If you've tried other modalities and you're not getting the results you want, I would really recommend looking for a diamond therapy practitioner, because 7 Colorate Therapeutic Diamond has a unique ability to completely rebuild entirely new chakras and also be guided, divinely guided, for the throat chakra shape, function that is appropriate for you of where you are on your spiritual journey. Because as we evolve, our energetic anatomy change and evolves too. It's not all the same. They're not just wheels of light. Okay. My clients have had to have many chakras rebuilt and have very advanced structures that have been built and put in place to help them move forward and speak their truth. So we're talking about, number one, understand and clearly define what your values are, what's important to you, and learn how to speak up appropriately to make sure that you are not breaking the same boundary that someone else has broken with for you, because we don't want that boomerang effect, that karmic or energetic boomerang effect, all right? So here's a couple of suggestions that I have for you is to, number one, speak with love and speak with integrity and do so in the appropriate venue. If this is a private conversation, have a private conversation, schedule an appointment and have a private conversation with someone. If it's a situation where you're concerned about fear of retribution, talk to your manager or your HR department about how best to have a very difficult conversation. And in my professional experience, one of the things I've learned, and this came up in an organizational psychology session that took place yesterday, is that sometimes as leaders and managers, we wait too long to get other experts to help us if we in a difficult situation. So what if you are the leader or the manager and you are having issue with a direct report or, you know, an employee or a contractor? One of the things that I would really recommend is get clear definition on your employee handbook and your guidelines. And I would also say, try to handle it best with yourself, but then call in the cavalry. Lesson learned, okay? Do not wait too long to get your human resources department involved, because they have additional resources they can pull in to assist you with conflict management, that can assist you with speaking your truth and hearing the other person's truth and receiving the other person's truth and finding a way to meet in the middle and come to a peaceful resolution that serves the greater good of all concerned. So, absolutely, when appropriate, get your human resources department involved at the right time. Do not wait too long. And also, your human resources departments also have EAP or employee assistance programs or other resources that they may have access to. They may bring in an organizational psychologist for assistance. They may bring in an energy psychologist for assistance or some other highly valuable resource that may serve you best at this time. For example, it could be a psychotherapist that specializes in narcissism. If you need assistance, I would just say and empower you and encourage you to reach out to your human resources department and ask for these resources. Because if you're really burned out and your burnout is now moving to exhaustion, this is in the danger zone, folks, okay? And we want to get you and empower you with the resources that can help you so that you can get this thing turned around. You can get unstick yourself and get moving forward in every area of your life where you can have the energy that you need to take care of yourself first and take care of your family and your pets and take care of those basic bottom things of Maslow's hierarchy of needs so that you can ensure that you have plenty of income and food and transportation, whatever that your needs are. All right. So reach out to your human resources department, ask about employee assistance programs, and ask and request additional resources to be brought in. If this is happening in your organization, sometimes the directors or vice presidents of human resources just aren't aware of what is actually taking place in the organization. And if they were actually aware and they had the documentation they needed, they sometimes have access to funds to pull in additional resources to help you. They can go to their board of directors, they can go to their shareholders, they can go to philanthropists, or they might even have emergency funds. So again, open up a conversation and go and ask for assistance. And the last thing I'll say is, asking for help. There is no shame, blame, or guilt in asking for help. It is not a weakness. It is a strength. When we stand up for ourselves and say, you know what, I have moved from burnout, which was bad enough, but I've now crossed the continuum into flat out exhaustion. I'm in the end stages of burnout and I really need help. So again, go to your human resources department and get the resources that you need. Call in the cavalry, all right? Okay, folks, so we're going to wrap up here. And the parting thought that I'd like to leave you with today is the single most important psychological contract, or the single most important promise you can ever make and ever keep, are those promises that you make and you keep to yourself. And really, it all starts with us. So get what you need and start keeping those promises to yourself. Whatever that is, make sure you deliver. All right, folks, we've got an exciting week coming up next week. We've got Dr. Christopher Boss going to join us talking about how emotional injury can get trapped in the spine, what we can do about it, and some valuable resources and other suggestions for practitioners that might help in your local area. Have a wonderful week. Take care and burn brightly, my friends. Bye now. Thanks for listening to Burn Bright Today with me, Jennifer J. Marcinelli, so you can burn brighter tomorrow. Burnout can feel like a heavy cloud hanging over everything you do, but a holistic healing revolution and a life you love is within your grasp. Catch me next Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. To learn more about me and to schedule a quantum healing session, visit burnbrighttoday.com. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.